The Money Show. Investment School.
And in our investment school today, we have our head teacher as Viv Govender, portfolio manager at Rand Swiss, talking about why we fall for dodgy investment and how to avoid these dodgy investments. Look, you can't make these things up. On Eyewitness News, as you've just heard, the Financial Sector Conduct Authority has issued a public warning against a Berry investing scheme promising unrealistic returns of up to 45.1% a month. The regulator warned against doing any business with Indie Berries and Co., whose website describes it as a platform that facilitates investment into the ventures of more than 300 evaluated and approved berry farmers across 7 countries. Indie Berries and Co. Facebook page describes it as an investment management company and claims to have around 300,000 active investors. From what I've just read to you, Viv, what are the red flags that you're picking up there already?
Well, the number one red flag is the return level. I mean, we're talking about double digits, like almost 40% returns per month. If you just basically worked out that, you know, say a year or two to the future and say, what would happen if I made 140-70% return every month? At that rate, you'd be doubling your money in less than 2 months. In 6 months of the year, you'd basically go from, six doublings, therefore, in a year, or seven doublings in a year. So you'd be getting basically, for the first, say, 10 rand you put in, you'd have 20 rand by the second 2 months, you'd have 40, 80, you know, it goes up dramatically. And by the time you're into like 5 years in the future, you're the richest person on earth. And the question you've got to ask yourself is this: why doesn't a bank lend these people money if they are willing to pay such a massive return and they are so safe? Banks lend money to everybody all the time. The reason that they don't lend money to some people and not others is because they don't trust them to pay it back. But if they think somebody's like a really bad risk, they ask them a higher interest rate. No bank is charging 41% a month. And so you can just understand that no bank would possibly, you know, be, you know, offering these people money. Because if they did, at 41% a month, they would be getting a much lower rate elsewhere. So they wouldn't need to pay you this money to basically invest. And they could get this funding from other places. So the smartest institutions, the banks, the financial investors in the world, are not willing to lend these guys money. And why should you?
Too good to be true, Viv, but we seem to always fall for this somehow. You know, great returns. Put in 1,000 rand in the next 30 days, you'll get 2,500 rand. We seem to want the quick cash. What is it about human behavior that gets us into so much trouble?
You know, you speak about, you know, coincidence, and one of the weird coincidences is that the person that basically described, you know, these flaws in human behavior, a guy called Daniel Kahneman, just passed away, you know, just recently. And he was actually, he and his colleague, Amos Tversky, I believe his name was, developed these ideas about imbalances in human, reasoning effectively. And this is something that is true. That's why we have things like casinos. That's why we have things like the lotto. Because people make these consistent errors when it comes to, making these kind of decisions. They consistently make, you know, predictable errors when it comes to evaluating risk, evaluating returns, and, you know, especially when it comes to numbers. And I think that's one of the reasons that people often fall for this. It's like some people say the lotto is a tax on the stupid. To some extent, you know, these kind of schemes are almost a crime against the naive. And in fact, you know, a thing I've found, generally is that when you look at some of the prospectus of these particular schemes, they often do things like, you know, have misspellings in them or, you know, bad grammar sometimes. The reason being is that they kind of want to filter out people that are able to spot these kind of things and effectively only attack the weaker prey when it comes to these scams.
So this would be the natural selection then of those that are being duped in terms of dodgy investments. Then looking at, you know, the type of greed that we have and also the impulse decisions we make. Could somebody that walks into a store planning to buy Just Bread and walks out with a whole lot of products in their basket be susceptible to such, schemes? Or is it also people who are professional, people who would be, looking for investments, they've been in investments for a long time, that also fall for these kind of schemes?
Look, I mean, it's quite a number of people. Often what often translates into an issue is the fact that people often don't have the right training in like financial matters. So you'll find somebody that's, for instance, a well-trained professional in, for instance, the medical field or in engineering, you know, a smart person, well-trained, an expert in their particular field. And when they basically see something else out there, they think that I know what I'm doing in this particular field, and they can translate that confidence and expertise over to another field. And that's often an issue where, you know, we do see, you know, people get, you know, to a certain extent, taken for a ride, one might say. The second thing is that these guys often operate with kind of like a vetting system. So what they do is they break into a social group, a social network. I mean, a famous case like this was, everyone knows about Bernie Madoff, right? He targeted the Jewish community, in particularly the US. And so what would happen is people would say, oh, but it sounds too good to be true. But my friend who I know and he's a smart person is in this particular thing. So it probably is not, you know, an issue. And that's often also what happens is once one person in the group gets, you know, to some extent, taken in, other people can often be taken in because they know their friend, and they know the friend is not stupid. They know the friend is trustworthy. If the friend's in this particular deal, they would go along with it as well. So there's a number of ways in which, like, otherwise very smart, very well-educated people do to some extent get caught up in these particular schemes.
So conversations around the dinner table, maybe a boss that you trust as well at work could also get you into some trouble. But looking at, you know, taking the time to do the proper research on the investments that we do take out, how important is that? Because the opportunity is often, you know, given as something that has a small window and you have to do it quickly. But how do we make sure that we safeguard ourselves by going through all these promises that are on these particular websites and checking them out with perhaps somebody who has far better knowledge?
Yeah, I mean, the example I'd give you is imagine if you had to go to the pharmacy and you had some kind of illness and you wanted to take something there, but you would have to go through yourself and look at each drug and figure out what each one does and whether or not it's suitable for you or not. That is not something reasonable to expect from a normal person to do. You certainly you can, and there's nothing about medical science that a smart person with, you know, a lot of time and, you know, energy could actually not decipher. But you would expect to go to a professional, a trusted professional, somebody think, oh, this doctor is my doctor. I know what he's reasonable. He knows what he's doing. And then ask him questions around the particular thing you want to try out. And the same thing applies to the financial sector as well. If you aren't willing to take the time and the, you know, don't have the energy and et cetera to basically evaluate these things yourself, you know, it's good to have somebody you can talk to and say, you know, what do you think about this particular thing? And then if you do, you know, sometimes you have time, everybody needs a second opinion once in a while. And if you have a particular investment you want to get into and you don't, are not certain about it, you know, speaking to a trusted, you know, person who is knowledgeable in the field, could be very useful, at least in getting a second opinion. And maybe they could point out things that you may have missed in terms of red flags.
And what sort of questions should we be asking for those red flags? I mean, things that you can go through that a normal investment company would be able, should be able to answer.
Well, the first thing is, you know, in South Africa, you want the FSP number. You want to have a company that's registered by the FSCA, because there is a minimum level of guarantee that these guys are to such a legitimate. Of course, not to say that every FSCA company is a rich company or every FSP is totally legitimate. There's been obviously cases in the past where companies that have FSP numbers, you know, are not legit, but they are the minority. And, you know, definitely I far, you know, with no other information, prefer a company that's has FSP number registered, you know, the people that are, you know, is properly licensed to do the particular kind of investment that you want to do with the company. So that's the number one thing. Number two, I would say basically, you know, just a common sense looking at whether or not these particular individuals are offering a return that kind of makes sense. Like I said, you know, someone returning 40% a month, you know, doesn't make sense because you'd be basically getting to a point where, you know, a couple thousand rands would make you a millionaire in a year's or a couple of years' time, and a billionaire in a couple of years afterwards. And a couple of years after that, you'd be richer than Elon Musk. No investment should be making you richer than Elon Musk on a guaranteed basis for a 1,000 rand investment in less than 5 years. You know what I mean? It doesn't make sense. So those kind of things, you know, don't look at the like initial things. If this is true, and imagine it rolled out for a few more months, what is the kind of return I'd be expected to get? Not reinvest my initial investment, but roll the whole thing over and over and over again. And another key aspect here is that do they charge you or are there limits with withdrawing your money? This is one of those absolute schemes that are absolute red flags. Wherever somebody has an issue giving you back your money, that is something where I would never want to be invested in. I had a client a while back who got involved in the scheme, and it was a multinational one with operations in Australia and China, I believe, in a couple other places. And he called me up and asked me, basically, these guys have my money. Now they say to return my initial investment, I must pay them more money.
Yeah,
did you see that? That's an absolute
deal
red flag.
With the mafia. Yeah.
Yeah. Why would they, if you have your money, why would you have to get more money to get the original money back? You know what I mean? Why don't they just deduct from your winnings, effectively? They say, oh, I've made 10 times my initial investment. Yeah, but you have to put in another, like, you know, you put in a certain amount of money. It's not 10 times more. It's worth R1 million, but you can put in another 100,000 to get that R1 million back. Why would that be? Why don't you just deduct it from the R1 million you have with me already? Those kind of things, but they don't make sense. Look at what people are domiciled. Look at, yeah.
Yeah, there's a very big elephant here in the 702 studio, and that would be greed for me, because you find that a lot of these schemes will target people that are getting lump sums like pensions and retirement annuities, and you've got all this money, you've saved up all these years, you've taken the time to save up during your career, you come to retirement, you get a lump sum, and all of a sudden you want, you know, double-digit returns on the money you've saved for so long. Why do we get that urge when we already are cash flush?
Look, I mean, people are greedy. That's just the fact of life. And often it's not the really cash flush people that... The one thing I found about really wealthy people is they don't really want to risk their money. They're more concerned with preserving what they have. It's often people that are, you know, a bit tighter in the money that are looking for almost a Hail Mary pass that gets them out of, you know, danger. You know what I mean? You don't find the truly wealthy people getting involved. This is usually people that don't have enough, quite frankly. And so that's one thing to be looked at. The next thing to look at, of course, is the fact that people are often overconfident. You know, they, like I said, they're overconfident about their ability to spot something. And, you know, that's another issue. And finally, like I said, these guys are smart. They know what they're doing. And, you know, you can't, if somebody came to you and basically beat you up and stole your money, you would not say to me, Viv, I was weak and therefore I deserve to be, you know, robbed. You wouldn't say that to me, would you? You'd say the guy was stronger than me and therefore that. Why do we say when somebody is able to manipulate you with their mind as opposed to with their body that you are not the victim? You know what I mean? Just if someone is skilled in basically, you know, manipulation, someone is like maybe was experienced and knowledgeable about certain things, they could quite easily, you know, take advantage of you. Just as someone that's physically stronger or learned a martial art could beat you up physically. And we mustn't always, you know, just say that the person that's taken advantage of was, you know, greedy or, you know, not a victim in that sense. Yeah.
Like, look, Viv, these liars are really, really good. In conversation with Viv Govender, portfolio manager at Ren Swiss, our head teacher today in our investment school, talking why we fall for dodgy investments and how to avoid them. Join us for more on this conversation after this.
The Money Show.
Investment School.
Chatting to Viv Govender, portfolio manager at Rand Swiss, talking to us about why we fall for dodgy investments and how we can avoid them. Now, Viv, some of these dodgy investments are quite good. You know, you might know a friend who's telling you about all these returns. He's showing you his own account. He's gotten his money back a few times. How do you then discern whether this is true or not, are still a risky investment for you when your own pal or someone that you trust tells you that they've gotten the returns and you've seen the lifestyle change?
Look, I mean, these things do occur. I mean, like I said, the Bernie Madoff scheme ran for many, many years. It was founded by, like I said, Bernie Madoff. Bernie Madoff was not some scamster. Bernie Madoff basically helped found the NASDAQ. You know what I mean? He was a seriously, you know, influential financial individual, and yet it was a scam. In that particular thing, the only way you would have spotted it is to basically look at the return profile and see that it was not realistic and, you know, it wasn't correct. But everything else about him, the fact that he was well known, the fact that he returned money, that's one of the features of a Ponzi scheme. The way a Ponzi scheme works is that you pay in money and you do get money initially. The problem is, as more and more people basically get into the scheme, more and more money needs to be paid out. And the only way to pay out that money is to get more people in. And eventually run out of people. That's how a pyramid scheme works. It starts with a small top and a wider and wider base. And eventually that base collapses and the whole thing collapses. So these kind of schemes often do have that trait where you will have a friend getting into something. They will make money and they will basically show you that money initially. The problem is that, you know, the next person in the rung, the next person after that in the rung, often is getting closer and closer to the risk of that scheme losing money, number one. Number two, there are actual legitimate things out there called multi-level marketing where there is that kind of similar pyramid structure. But, you know, there is an underlying product that's worth, you know, buying. And that's an idea that you might find, you know, it's similar to some of these Ponzi schemes. The way I would usually, like, you know, phrase it in this way is that look at the actual business. Look at what they actually are offering and see if it kind of makes common sense to you. Regarding this example with the berry farms, the 40% return per month just does not make sense. With Bernie Madoff, it was, I think, 8 or 9% per year guaranteed almost. And that doesn't make sense. You can't get that kind of return guaranteed. There wasn't the trade going to the market, but you need quite a bit more information to know that it's happening. So a lot of these things are very hard to spot other than to say, this does just not make sense to me. And that's the only, I think, the golden rule you should follow.
We've had examples like, I think it was Triple M, Fidentia was another a big Ponzi scheme, the saponzi.co.za scam that even took and, you know, pulled the wool over those that we consider financial professionals as well. So, you know, getting into the research part of it, you know, if I hear about a great investment opportunity, should I also be calling up my broker to say, before I put money into this, can you have a good look at it and give me your assessment?
Yes, I think having a person that, like you would have a medical profession in your life that you can ask if there's a problem. You should have a financial profession in your life that you can ask if there's an issue. You know, somebody that can look at things and give you, you know, a heads up as to what looks reasonable or not. The second thing is that, I mean, like I said, make sure, number one, that if someone's going to take your money, that they are registered with the FSCA or with some regulatory body if it's an international company. Don't just go to any company that says they're going to take your money and give you a return without seeing if they're registered with some reputable agency. And finally, like I said, it's the smell test. You've got to see if it makes sense to you. And even sometimes, you know, there are schemes out there that turn out in the end to be incredibly profitable, like crypto. I mean, crypto never passed my particular smell test, and that's why I never invested in it. But, you know, obviously, if you had, there'd be a fortune to be made in the past, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because there's those things that come up in the markets like cryptocurrencies and all sorts of, you know, investment in chips of late, AI, all sorts of things that could be put on social media as great returns. But, you know, the 1920s fraudster Charles Ponzi, a very long time ago, these things keep happening. How do I walk out with my money? Even if I've gotten myself into some of these things, I mean, you often hear that when you hear about a Ponzi scheme, it's probably too late.
Yeah, look, I mean, if you think you're in a scheme, get your money out immediately. Just be as quick as possible about it. But be aware that if it is an actual Ponzi scheme, often any of the gains you have, you know, taken out over time can be claimed back. That was the case with Bernie Madoff, where a number of people basically were taking out returns over many, many years from this particular scheme, thinking it was a proper investment. Imagine you put money in the bank and for like 20 years and you get like 5%, 8% a year. And then suddenly after 20 years, somebody comes to you and says, hey, you know that interest you collected for the last 20 years, that's actually ill-gotten gains with somebody else's money. Please give us back. That is what happened there. So just be aware of that. But if you do think you are in a scheme, get your money out. That's the best thing to do. Get it out as quickly as you possibly can. Hopefully the scheme isn't collapsing yet. And so they might want to keep quiet and give you your money out early, just to, like, you know, stop the bother. But as soon as you think you are in a scheme, get your money out and try and get the money out as quickly as possible. And don't take any delays for an answer.
And as we wrap, Viv, just a short answer around playing the long game rather, because a lot of people just want quick returns.
Yeah, look, I mean, here's the thing. If you are, you know, just a normal working person and make a good amount of money in their lives, you know, a reasonable amount of money, and you just put your money straight into the stock market, don't even go, like, look at particular stocks, just buy the overall index, you should do fine. You know, you're not going to be about a millionaire, but you're not also going to be losing the majority of your money. That is the number one thing. The things that are offering you more than this, offering you significantly above what the market return is, those things are usually coming out either with real risk or are a scam. And unless you are an extremely, you're confident financial professional, I would suggest that you avoid them if at all possible.
Well, don't be duped. That was Viv Govender, portfolio manager at Rand Swiss, our head teacher today in our investment school, talking about why we fall for dodgy investments and how to avoid them. Thank you so much for that conversation.